Breaker 19, Breaker 19.
Rubber duck.
Full Spectrum Cycling Show number 54 here from the River West Studios.
Aren't you that old?
We haven't gotten to my show yet, you freak. Damn it.
Oh, you're even older than this? Holy shit.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Some dude walking his dog looking, hey, keep moving. I'm looking in the window right now. You can see we're safely at least 6 feet apart.
You said the magic word.
Dog.
You speak dog, do you?
I do. Oh, look at this dog. That dog is freaking cute.
Well, that's on the other side of the street dog over there.
Yeah, but he's a good looking dog. Arf.
Doggy.
Oh, he's looking at the other dog that was just looking at us.
Yeah, see how dogs are?
Oh, I love dogs.
They must be cohabitators because they're walking right hand in hand. Yes, so nice. Are. And their dog.
Oh, and they're still petting their dog.
Holy shamoly.
Now sanitize your hands.
Right?
I don't have to worry about that with the doggies.
Some doggies can get that dang old CV19. For my CV19. Uh-oh.
Did you hear the remix of, who's the Forever in Blue Jeans guy? He redid the...
Neil Diamond, the Jewish Elvis.
Yeah, he redid COVID-19, so, you know.
But that wasn't the original song, right?
No, it was whatever the other horrible Neil Diamond song.
Is it the one that they sang at all the young people's get-togethers these days? Yeah. Things and whatnot. There's a lot of people making COVID-19 songs these days, I'm sure.
Well, they got nothing else to do.
Yeah, Cactus Brothers, Brian Casper, I can't pronounce the last name.
Some of
but them. It's big in there.
No, you go that way.
Hi.
No, you got to go over there. Hi. There you go. Now we're socially distant. Socially from one distant. Another. So
side talking.
Are either?
Yeah, he did a cover of. I can't remember what it was, but it was a riff on.
Anywho,
da, 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 da. I will find it.
I will find it.
Put a pin into that.
Are either of you Neil Young fans at all?
I am a very big Neil Young fan.
He's opened up his whole archives during this time.
Nice.
At like 192 kbps, too.
Of course
too.
He is, because he believes in that.
Yeah. I've listened to After the Gold Rush and Russ Never Sleeps.
Do you know the album Trans, his digital album, his synthesizer album?
Do not.
It does not sound anything like Neil Diamond. It is fucking fabulous. I highly.
Does it sound like Brian Eno? Because I like Brian Eno's.
It is just, you got it. You listen to it the first time, you're like, there's no way this is Neil Young. And then you look at the album cover, you're like, my God, this is Neil Young.
Guy's been making music for 50 plus years. Yeah. He's going to have a little bit of variety, I'd imagine.
What else does he own?
Some kind of electric car.
Oh, well, yeah, he does.
An electric Cadillac.
Gigantic. It's not, it's even bigger.
Ginormous.
No, he owns Lionel Trains.
Oh, right on, yeah.
I think we have this in a previous show.
We may, because we probably talked about how Neil Young, how Walter's right here in Milwaukee area too. Mm-hmm. If you're a train person,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of am.
COVID-19, a parody done in the style of Steely Dan's "Hey 19."
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. It's driving me nuts. So.
Short trip.
Thank God. Yeah. Didn't have to walk very far.
Thank God.
Oh, for cripes and a.
There you go. There it is. Gonna do.
Welcome to the radio program caller. Who do we have on the line?
How are you? My name is Alroy. I'm from Ontario, Canada.
How's it going, eh?
It's going good, guys. It's going great, actually, as a matter of fact. A few extra bonus holidays and all the rest of it. You know, I work for a municipality, so we get paid whether we're sitting at home, whether we're at work, so it's all good.
Or you're riding your bike.
So... You remember?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was out today with the kids for a couple hours, just doing a little boot along the trail, checking out the way to work, and seeing if everything's drying out. And it seems like it's firming up pretty good. So yeah, we're looking forward to some little bit longer hauls, maybe in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
Do you remember? I know you called last week. I was. We were going to play it. Would you like to hear what you said last week? Let's listen to Alroy from last week, because he left a brief message on the old call-in voicemail. Here we go. Alroy from last week.
Hey, guys. It's just Alroy from Ontario, Canada calling. I want to let you guys know what I've been up to with this hiding away in the house business. Just basically, I'm pretty stoked. We're getting some better weather, and at my bike shop... Got both my bikes done in a decent amount of time, so they're tip-top and ready to rock. So I'm looking forward to getting out on the trails when they get a little bit less swampy and maybe making some night runs. stretching my legs a little bit and not becoming a chubby, grumpy alcoholic without having to go biking. So hopefully we can get out there and spin our wheels a little bit. Hoping you guys are doing good. And, yeah, thanks for the show. See ya.
Awesome.
There you go. That was you from last week. What do you think?
Nice. Yeah, you know what? Things haven't progressed much in the last couple of weeks, but I'm kind of, you know, it's kind of nice, sun shining, and, you know, looking at the positive. We're just sort of, yeah, I wish we could get together with everybody that we normally ride with, but it's not, you know, not really feasible at the moment. But, yeah, I'm hoping that this shortens up and we get back to a big, maybe a giant group ride in the future, hopefully.
Right on. So are you guys under the same kind of stay-at-home or safer-at-home kind of stuff we are here?
Yeah, you know what? Pretty much the exact same. We've been pretty much locked down. It's groups of five or less. You know, no church, no school, no work, you know, type of thing. They're just asking everybody to stay at least two arms length apart. And, if everybody's coughing, everybody's kind of freaking out. They even if it's a regular cold, people are kind of getting a little bit leery. They think they're starting to go that they have COVID, which I'm not really. I mean, unless you've been in contact with somebody that has it, or you know for sure that you've been somewhere that has had it. I mean, people are getting, it's psychosomatic mostly, I think, mm-hmm. for a lot of people. But
they're not like pulling out knives like in Texas and trying to stab Asian people to death, though, right? You're not quite that bad.
No.
Good.
It's not that bad.
Because that's what's happening here, and these people are fucking crazy.
But people, you know what? People are getting, they're becoming more friendly. They'll walk across the street, but they'll actually acknowledge and say, hey, how's it going? Hello, how are you? And that's kind of a nice feature to this whole thing. And people, I think, are appreciating I've seen more people walking their dogs and biking and getting out with their kids and, trying to avoid the, because there's nothing on the news to read. I mean, let's face it, it's nonstop coronavirus 24/7, so there's nothing to read or hear about, so you kind of give up on that. And but yeah, everybody's just getting outside, and that's sort of a positive. There's a lot of positive to this too. Unfortunately, there's a lot of negative too. But I mean, there is definitely an upside. So see the silver lining if you can, I guess.
Yeah,
right.
Look at.
So are you lucky enough to be able to work from home, or what's happening with your actual employment situation?
No, the bonus thing with what I do is I actually am one of the I work in the water department in the city of Cambridge, so it's one of those things where if something like fresh water is very essential, like if the lights go out, people don't immediately call and want to kill the electric company. They just assume that something's happened, the transformer's down, the lights go out for a bit, and they just deal with it. But if you have a water shortage or a water stoppage, they are immediately they get crazy immediately. So
how the heck are you going to wash your hands? You got to have the water.
Absolutely. We keep the water flowing. We keep it from washing people's basements out, and keep it fresh and safe to drink, and do all the washing and sanitizing and all that stuff too. So yeah, I'm on call basically 24/7, and then we're kind of doing a rotating shift between all the guys that are on the crew. So we don't necessarily get together as a big group, but we kind of just sort of, you know, do our thing individually. And then if we have to get together, we do as best we can and keep safe and all the rest of it. So, yeah. But I get to, the good thing is that I have been commuting to by work for 16 years now. So I kind of just bike to work. And when the weather gets good, I go, there's a couple different ways I can go. And the one way is about a 15 or 16 kilometer way in the morning, which is nice and quiet and calm.
Are kilometers more or less than miles?
I'm enjoying it.
So those are less than miles, right?
Yeah, so it's like 12 miles.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
16 kilometers.
If you say so, for instance, if it's 10 miles is 16K. So if I in my morning commute, I can do a 10 mile in the morning. I can do 10 miles to work, and then I can shorten it up and do like a 3.5 mile or something like that, depending on which way I go.
So what's in the bike stable at your house?
Right now, well, I just was actually out just this afternoon tuning up my 2014 DaVinci Troy, which is, I finally got it to, it's been a good bike. It's a lot of fun to ride, dually suspension. And then I have my my 2019 Norco Bigfoot, which I put together last summer there, a little bit piece by piece, I guess. It was a I had a 2015, and the frame cracked. And unfortunately, even though Norco was absolutely fantastic about sending a frame, the compatibility of the 2015 to the 2019 was basically you just got a frame, and you have to build the bike from the frame. So,
sure.
So not a lot of the parts worked, but it is a nice bike now that I have it all put together.
Yeah, I remember that being a pretty fair bike, and it's in the original guys, so they made some changes to the component spec or the standards that you had on the old one versus the new one.
Oh, absolutely. The spec on the new bike was really, really, I mean, for the money, you can't beat it. Honestly, if someone's getting into the game and they wanted to ride a fat bike, Norco is a good way to go because the standover height is really super low. I mean, if you get into the deep snow or whatever and you have to step off the bike, you're not going to get, you're not going to get crushed. Yeah. And, but the bike itself it comes with just about everything you need, and you don't have much to do to make it a great bike. It's, you can fiddle with it if you want to make it your own bike, but otherwise it's a right out of the box stock. It's a good bike. And I really enjoyed my 2015. I actually would kind of put pieces here and there on it. And, I color matched everything, and unfortunately, when I got the new frame, it was a completely different color, and nothing lined up. And it just looked like a quilt. It looked like a green and red and black and orange, and it was ugly as anything. So I had to scale it back and kind of make everything black and blue again.
Speaking of low step over Canadian fat bike, we happen to be looking at a Surface 604 Boar that just came in as a demo bike. It's a
review bike for the old fatbike.com.
She's a top speed on it we're seeing so far is 29 and a half miles an hour.
Well, that was downhill.
Well,
this is an electric bike. I don't know if you're familiar with these guys out of Surface 604, but I think we tested the last one back in 2012. This one is actually the current 2020 model in it, and they've kind of angled it a little more towards outdoor folks, I think, hunters and fishermen and whatnot. And so far, so good. It's really cool. It's got a 500-watt Bofang rear hub, and, heckin' A. I'm an old guy. These electric bikes are kind of interesting.
It changes the game a little.
I can honestly appreciate the electric feature for somebody who did, these young guys are like, let's face it, I'm in my mid 40s, and there's the guys in the 20s that just tear
up.
These
are young and folks.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the electric for keeping up. For most applications, I'm going to stay away from the electric just because if you want to go with good components, good electric, you're going to be into a big dollar figure. And I think I'd rather I'd drop that on something with a titanium frame. Like I'd get something with a bigger gear range and just a, if you want to get around with equipment and stuff like that, absolutely electric. If you're going in the bush and you got to haul a lot of gear and trailer full of stuff to, trail maintenance and that, I can see it. I can see it. Or maybe commuting, getting some groceries and stuff with a little bit loaded down. But for the time being, I'm going to stick with just their regular old.
They got their
regular
purpose.
Old framework, and yeah, absolutely. So, it's just easy to fix, right? It adds another whole component with you got batteries and.
Sure.
And all the rest of it, especially when you commute in the winter, the salt. I mean, I don't know how you guys are, but the salt here, they just dump it on.
Oh,
like,
yeah. We like our salt, too.
Unfortunately. They salt to death, and I think that anything that just takes an absolute beating in the metal or otherwise electric just takes an absolute beating in the salt.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got this. We just got it, so we're past the salt season mostly, unless we get a late April snow, which we've gotten in the past. But, this thing, it's not that bad. It's $24.99 is the retail price on it. And, it will go at least 35 miles, maybe 40. To a charge. So, they're starting to get to that point where they're a real viable alternative. I think when we first started looking at electric bikes 10 plus years ago or more, they were novelty items. You really couldn't rely on them. It was more like a tinkerer's thing, and you kind of had to know something about how the systems worked and how to troubleshoot them. And now they're almost turkey. They're turkey for Christ's sake. This thing's turkey. But look for a couple of reports on it on the old fatbike.com there.
Absolutely. I follow it every day. I look forward to it, especially these days because things, I look at fatbike.com every day. I absolutely love it. I'm loving the reviews. I know it's kind of straight into the other bike market and stuff, which is cool, too, because you see some reviews and different bikes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's really inspiring. I do enjoy it. It gives me pumps me up to get going, and the events that you guys hold and host and stuff like that, it's great. It's awesome. I wish there was more here around where I'm from. There's not a lot of it's hard to get everybody together in one big group. But I see you guys doing like 30, 40 guys at a time, and it's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, definitely give props to Gomez because he's the main online story guy these days. And, you know, if you have a story, he'd love to have more content. So if you've got anything that you want to talk about fat bike-wise, I'm pretty sure that he'd accept just about any kind of story you might want to tell from your neck of the woods. Do a reader's ride on your bike or take a photo of it somewhere and do a Wallpaper Wednesday or... You know, there's all kinds of ways to be a kind of a contributor and a reporter at large. And, you know, we just do this fancy show every week. Otherwise, kind of stepped back myself from being the full-on fatbike.com
speaking of fancy
reporter
show,
guy.
Speaking of fancy show, you better be having some sort of beer when you're calling in here. So don't lie to us. What are you drinking?
You know what? Right now, let me just have a quick look here. I did a couple because I was on call this week, so I couldn't enjoy myself. But I was actually, I got a Mill Street Brewery. It's from Toronto. And it's a Rodeo Monk with a hazy white IPA.
Whoa.
That's all sorts of stuff going on there.
It's a long name. It's a long title. It's 7% alcohol per volume, so I'm really enjoying that right now. I had a couple before that, but that one's the one I'm finishing with tonight.
Nice. Very good.
Oddly enough, the beer we're drinking is also 7% by volume.
So when you called last week and I...
We're all on the same wavelength right now.
Right? Yeah, we're all in the 7% zone, folks. You had said your name on the phone. How do you spell your name? Is it Alroy? A-L? Roy?
Okay, so it's Alroy. It's
okay.
It's a moniker. It's just that what it is if you know that I'm a real punk rock fan, and one of my favorite bands is All and the Descendants. So the little caricature that they have, it looks kind of like a little yellow Bart Simpson looking like
kind of
guy.
My friend has it tattooed on his forearm.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks like it. So that's the guy's name is Alroy. So that's the one I went with.
Right on.
I really love the band. And
98% sure we were listening to the Descendants yesterday our social distortion playlist on. The Descendants fall in there pretty easily.
Yep.
They do. Yeah, they definitely follow those guys. I was at a show one time when the Descendants actually were just, it was a festival and Descendants were slightly, I think they were right after Social Distortion. And Social Distortion ended up doing an encore of like, I think it was Ring of Fire. And I was thinking at the time like, hey guys, cut this short. Let's get to the Descendants. But
that's the great.
It was an absolutely awesome event. But
that Ring of Fire cover is so good.
So while you guys were chatting, I was looking up where Norco isn't super well represented here in the Midwest for some reason. I think they do pretty well on the West Coast, out Seattle way or Washington that way. But we've got one in Mount Horrible.
Really?
There's a shop Trail this bicycle shop in Mount Horeb, which is like 100 miles from here.
Grumpy Troll.
Mount Horeb is an awesome city.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful little visit.
Very small. But apparently they have a Norco availability. But I'm actually surprised because some of the kind of second-tier bike companies kind of do okay in Milwaukee. But maybe we ought to look at Norco.
Yeah.
Here at the Old Everyday Cycles 800-square-foot Norco showroom.
Oh.
You know what? It's worth a look. Though, I mean, I really appreciate their style. I always liked the idea. Well, I guess the first reason I bought the Bigfoot itself is because I was a real fan of the monster truck Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And there was, oddly enough, there was one of the Whack Packer from Howard Stern, his name was Bigfoot. And it was, you know, it all ties together. I mean, it's just a fun, I think when I think of fat bikes, I think of these bikes that are just like, they're such an oddity. At the time, they were such an oddity. And people just kind of like, they will ask every day about a $1,500, fat bike, but you bring your $4,500 or $5,000 or $6,000 beautiful, dual suspension bike. Nobody bats an eye at it, but when you bring a fat bike out, people are constantly, every single time I bring that thing out, they're always asking questions about it. So I was, you know, sort of amazed at that. The bike is such a freak show, and it's such a fun thing to ride, and it just it brings a smile to your face every time you get on it. I don't know. It's just it's great.
That's what that bike
does. Does RSD do much in your area from another Canadian there? I think Quebec, up there.
Yeah.
They do. They do. Actually, you know what? The RSD's from right out of Toronto, and they do a fantastic bike. Their bike build is really great. I've been looking at them, actually. And their customer service is, I mean, you can get online and talk to the one owner there.
Talk right to Alex, man. Alex is your guy.
Yeah, they're great.
Yep.
Ship it right to the door and almost built and really good spec, and you can't beat the price. So, you know, manage your front fork and...
You can check out John Trusky's review of his RSD. Yeah,
his Sergeant. He was looking for the Quiver Killer, where he could do both 29er and still have a wide enough tire to do some beach riding with the crew. And the new Sergeant, the V3 or whatever the latest version of the Sergeant is, man, that thing is really versatile. Super, super cool. And then, of course, the Mayer Fat Bike is kind of the fat bike on steroids, kind of a, you know, trail-oriented kick-ass fat bike.
Well, that's another thing I was going to ask you guys. Where do you, and this is probably going to be my, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Obviously, I've been yakking away here, but.
Oh, this show's way more interesting than you called, so don't worry about it.
I do listen. I meant to call in a few weeks back, and I lost the number, and then I, you know, found it again when you guys put it up there, so I decided to give you a shot. But, you know what, where do you guys see fat bikes going? Do you see more trail or like a slacker, you know, head angle? My idea is just to have this thing that has wide ass bars and short stem and super, you know, not super super rake, but you know, say 66, you know, degree head angle. Just these wide ass tires. I want to see something that just looks just crazy, like a bull charging out of the woods at you bike. You know what I mean? Like
do you see
some bikes doing that?
Yes, I just came across it. We haven't actually seen one in our stable yet to test. I think it's from, it's from somewhere in Europe, Germany or Sweden or who knows what, someplace over there. But it has a 66 degree head tube angle and a 75.5 degree seat tube angle. And it's like nobody's made a fat. I mean, I think RSD is probably the closest to, you know, sort of a trail oriented fat bike or the, you know, the ice cream truck or whatever. But they're still kind of semi-conservative by
custom Wyatt
enduro or downhill standards. And this, whatever this thing is, it starts with a P. It's not Pivot. I forget. It was a smaller company, and it was blue. But, yeah. So
I did see something about that. Yeah, it looked pretty neat, actually. Yeah, it was a good,
you know, I mean, kind of a good article. I don't know. I mean, in the Midwest here where fat bikes were beach riding, which we don't have beach anymore because the lake is
too high.
You know, so high, the water level. But and also snow, but we don't have the elevation to really, you know, do bomber stuff on bikes where you're doing more gravity stuff. Yeah, but I could see it.
Colorado.
I mean, I've gone out to just about everywhere out west, Vegas, Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, you know, and ridden my fat bike as a mountain bike. And I've been a proponent of riding fat bikes as mountain bikes for many years. And I think you're on a track there. Look at the Wyatt Maverick too. That one is definitely, you know, short stem, long top tube.
And they'll custom size it if you want.
Yeah, if you really wanted them to, if you want to buy a frame from them and you say, guys, your 68 degree head tube angle just isn't quite what I'm looking for. I need 66. They'll be like, yep, we'll do that for you.
No problem. I have it ready in 2 weeks.
And they're made in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and they cost $1,000, you know, for a made in the USA bike. It's I mean, that's kick ass. Yep.
So, yeah, I love it. I think Reeb's doing a good job too. I mean, I've looked at their stuff. They're at 67, and I mean, they're the cool. I mean, they have such cool bikes coming out. I just, you know, if I dropped the dollars on it, I would definitely, you know, there's lots of options out there. Thank goodness, and whatever you can dream up. That's a cool thing about fat bikes. You can whatever you dream. It's your own personal thing, and you can just do whatever you want to.
If you're gonna go Reeb though, go all out and get one of the last Chumbas that are available.
I don't know, man. I'd take a Reeb.
They're pretty nice.
Nothing wrong with Chris's handiwork for sure, yeah, you know that's especially when you can work one on one with the guy building your frame. That's pretty kick ass.
Absolutely.
Is he still driving that badass like lifted Volvo too?
Don't know.
Yeah, he had a like a 240 with a lift kit on it. It looked pretty sick.
All right, all right. Well, thanks very much for making our show interesting this week. Feel free to call in.
Thanks for picking up, guys.
Yeah, call in anytime.
Like crazy, and
Anytime.
I'll call in another
stay
time.
Stay safe.
Yep, you guys too.
All right.
Sounds good.
Have
take
a good
it easy.
One.
Keep riding.
Next time we'll have to have you play a tune on the on the show. We need some punk rock on this thing.
I can do that.
All right, cool. Man.
All right.
Thanks.
Have a good night, guys.
You
yep.
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, there you go.
All right.
All right, baby. Also, all top of the hill.
Right on.
You know, if it weren't for him, I don't know what we would have done with this show. thank God for our listener.
Well,
Michael J.K. Livin to you folks brought in today's beer. Maybe he could tell us a little bit about it.
Take it away, Michael. This is the Boson HLV Heavy Lift.
So that's what that word is, Boson? It's not Boatswain.
Boatswain.
It ain't no Boatswain.
No, I would say.
Yeah, Boson.
Yeah.
Or the back,
you look
back on, by, the mizzen,
parentheses,
by the mizzen mast.
B-O-S-U-N.
Yeah, Boson. It does actually have the pronunciation right on the can.
Oh, that says Boyson to me. Oh, there's a little dot up there. Okay, I got it.
Otherwise, I would have said the Boatswain.
All right, then. Notwithstanding the pronunciation of the name, HLV.
It's kind of like a brown ale, brown nut. I think it listed it on Beer Advocate as like a American strong ale.
Yeah,
yes, I've never
which was something like we can't really call it.
I don't know
a
what
brown
the,
because
yeah, I don't even know what the hell. It's like a brown with like a brown IPA that's hoppy or a hoppy brown ale. I don't know.
Well, it's got the middle part of it's really good, and then the finish is kind of a little weird.
Sure.
The middle part tastes—it's very malty and sweet, and especially with the Held's beef jerky as the every other beer swallow eat jerky thing.
I'll let you guys continue that, and I'm going to go get myself another one.
Well, get three of them while you're in there. That? They're small. Magic. Yeah. So
I wandered by it during these days of going to the provision shop because the alcoholic grape juice keeps going away and I have to keep replenishing.
So this is from Traders Jehovah's Witnesses, right?
Yes, the hot smoking Tater Joe's.
So you're there in the $2 chuck aisle and you're like, dang it, they got some beer over here too.
Well, they queue you up in line right through right in front of all the beer.
Oh, nice.
Keeping your distance, and then I just happen to look down, and I'm like, hey, $5 a six-pack, what is this all about?
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, they had like three different versions. They have like an American IPA and
which
then a
is
double
actually,
IPA.
They're one of their IPAs I've had.
I thought this, I just kind of grabbed it, thinking it was one of the IPAs, and it wasn't.
The HLV, heavy lift vessel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
It's drinkable.
I'll tell you what.
I mean, it's in the
you could pay
zone.
Twice as much and not be as happy.
I agree with that completely.
So, Boson there, hey?
Boson.
HLV ale, heavy lift, 7.0% alcohousy. I don't know what the IBUs are, but I'm going to give it about a 38, just based on my...
How about 80, because it says right on the back, IBU.
Get out of here.
It says original 80? Gravity, 17.35.
There's a lot of numbers
appearance,
you're making up.
Appearance, dark brown.
Wow, IBU, 80 IBU.
Holy shit, it does.
Yeah, I would not have said that. It's not that. Brewed and canned by Rhinelander Brewing Company, Monroe, Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
By Cranky.
I noticed the Rhinelander. I was
like a tiny hiney right about now.
Yeah, I was trying. Where was the place that always would give that with the bloodies?
The Tiny Heine was at Trocadero.
There's other places we've gotten the little grenades.
Just
of,
recently.
Yeah. Oh, that's
they didn't have them at Dino's, did they?
No, Dino's.
That was a Rhinelander.
Yeah, they did give you a Rhinelander.
They gave you a Rhinelander right over there.
Rest
of course,
peace,
they're
Dino's.
Closed now, so Dino's go to hell.
Rest in peace,
closed.
Dino's. God damn it.
Here's something interesting. Kitspo, familiar with these guys?
Yeah, a little bit.
And their fancy shirts and
they're
awesome stuff.
Doing stuff for Corv.
They're making freaking PPE stuff for the old COVID virus thing there.
Wow.
With several other companies out there in their new production facilities in North Carolina by Industry 9 and Watershed and OE and a bunch of other people who have made North Carolina their home, but they've combined to cut and prepare 30,000 face shields, and they've got enough plastic to manufacture 800,000 face shields.
Wow.
And they've actually hired 3 full-time and 9 temporary employees to aid in manufacturing. So not saying this is a great thing to have this going on, but, you know, companies like this that are actually making the best of it and fighting and also employing people is
stepping up.
Ass. Yeah. I think we alluded to this before. Ain't no cars out there.
There ain't, you know.
Perfect normally, time to go ride your bike outside, folks.
It certainly is a good time to, you know, keep social distance bike riding. But yeah, during the show, there, you know, normally there's a car every couple of seconds, and now it's been, you know, it's been a long time, and this is a very busy street, so there is advantages, and gas is real cheap, so fill up your car and just leave it parked.
You know, I paid $1.59 the other day, but
holy
down
shit.
Towards Beloit, it's 99 cents a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's almost worth driving way down there just to pay 99 cents a gallon.
Right, just to get the road.
Not quite. But yeah. Well, you got to go somewhere.
Not with the shit.
Plus, you can go. What's the rib joint on the way right there at Highway 20? Oh, it's so good. I can't remember what it's called, but I'll remember next time because it's damn good.
I have a major durability to know.
Highway by East Troy there.
Oh.
It used to be by the gas station. Now they got their own place. It's called LJ's or something to that effect. I think it's LJ's. Damn good ribs. And other smoked meat. Not jerky, though, so much.
Oh.
You know who would be really nice to have a carry-out food from with this time of need? He mentioned ribs, so what does that bring you to?
Speed Queen.
Speed Queen.
Or a swinging door.
I don't know. I didn't think of them as ribs that much. Yeah.
I was just thinking the pulled pork sandwich, but
I'm not saying they don't.
My daughter does love the ribs; they're not bad.
I think whenever I think of ribs, I think
Speed Queen.
Or pitches, pitches.
Like just out of nowhere, like I have a hanker from ribs. Let's go. It's like I'm in
a hanker for a hunk of slab or a slice of chunk of. Gotta have a hunk of cheese. Yeah, something along
those lines. Another one we brought up. The other one was I'm just a bill. What's next? Conjunction, your function?
Is the cheese thing, was that an electric company?
Looking
up words and
phrases and causes, things and whatnots, and eating some more beef jerky.
Yeah, there you go.
And friendship is kalaka.
Hmm.
That's just,
wow.
That wasn't the other part.
Well, okay.
Hey, here's a good idea. If you made it, okay, two things. Number one, before I get to the shameless plug for this show, if you all remember Kim West from back in the old Kim West radio cycling days. He had a show that was done out of Des Moines, Iowa, actually in a real radio station for an hour every week, which was fantastic, and had some really great guests from the road racing side of the cycling thing. You can probably still find those on iTunes. But he's actually doing a 10:15 in the morning coffee shop at his house, kind of like jawing away for a half an hour. It's pretty kick-ass. If you get a chance to check out Kim West, Facebook, live, 10:15 a.m., Monday through Friday, it's the virtual coffee shop.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And Kim's a super intelligent guy. He was somewhat of a lawyer, though I don't know that he ever took any money. He mostly dispensed good knowledge and helped people because he's a super solid dude, but it's super interesting. Today was dog day. He has quite a few dogs, so Tony would have been like, oh, man.
You're telling me now.
You like
hey,
pigs?
You can catch him. You can catch him on the flip-flop. But, you know, folks like Greg Rasmussen from Rasmussen's down in Iowa there, bike shop, and a few folks are on there I've recognized from the years of cycling Iowa. And I think Kim has his voice is good. He's a radio personality, yep. Baby. And it's
a face for radio.
Oh yeah, it's better than mine. And he's been playing a side of an album, sort of along the Allman Brothers, Grateful Dead kind of jam band side of stuff. Yeah. But it'll kind of be playing in the background. So
nice.
About the time the album side runs out, you're kind of running out of stuff to talk about. And
we should might
Kim West, folks, check it out. If you'd like to contribute to this show, like your good buddy Alroy did today, which I think was totally kick-ass because
it was a blast.
Otherwise we'd had a 5-minute show. So call us at 717-727-2453.
That spells bike.
If you can't catch us at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is when we always do the show except for last week when we diverged and then it was still 7 o'clock by the time we got to it,
So I take that back completely.
Right. So I'm just saying, in the 54 shows we've done, it's pretty much always at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And if you can't make it, leave a freaking message. I mean, we can always put it in the show.
Reach out, touch. We need not contact.
Although I got to say, not like Dave, because his last, But anyway.
I seem to recall someone calling from Europe that way too once.
717-727-2453.
They got these chewy pretzels, and I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, ride your bike, because it's a pretty good time to be riding, yeah. Even if you have to do it by yourself or whatever.
I like riding my bike by myself.
You know, maybe don't ride right behind the guy mountain snotting in front of you.
Don't do that. Or don't be that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's probably a douche.
All right. Next week.
Adios.
Later.